He took Lexi, our oldest, to a restaurant, sat her down, and he said, he basically told her he didn't have much time left.
Wait. So he told your daughter that he knew he was going to pass away. How did he know?
I'm taking it all in. I said, I know your life's in danger. As I walked into his house like a mad woman, and I said, you need to give your life to God. It was like I would look at him, and the guy that I fell in love with was no longer completely there. There are just certain spiritual doors that you should never, ever open. I feel like Metodi passed before he physically passed.
Sure.
Those covenants require certain things, and you know what they require, eh?
Do you think he sold his soul? Hola, Sam fam. Welcome to another episode right here on I've Been Through the Most podcast on Sam Twins TV with myself, Millicent, and my twin sister, Innocent.
We don't know where you're listening from, but wherever you are listening or watching from, please make sure that you subscribe, you like, and you share this video. Mm-hmm. Today is going to be another awesome one, Millicent. But where else can they listen to us?
You can listen to us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts. And, of course, watch us here on YouTube. Like, comment down below. We love to hear what you have to say. I know Inu is obsessed about the comment section. She reads all the comments.
I have to. So make sure that you comment down below. We are also available on our different social media platforms. Go and show us some love right there. And if you want to sit on the hot seat and tell your story, the email address is also provided down below. Let's get into our story. Mm-hmm. So the guest who's joining us today on the hot seat, I first saw her videos online. Actually, so many people referred her to us.
Oh, yeah, they did.
So shout out to the, our referrals. I know Sister Rhea as well referred.
Yeah.
And I was like, wow, what a story, you know. And I was like, you know what, let's not waste any time. Let us invite her to the story. Leslie, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
You are so beautiful.
Oh, thank you. You guys are beautiful.
Thank
are you ladies? So, so beautiful.
And we're all matching in green. Love and it for us.
And we didn't even plan this,
yeah,
hey?
We didn't.
No.
There was no brief. So, you know, you came wearing the theme and I'm like, look at God.
Yes, exactly. It was
and
God.
And for those who don't know who you are, can you give us an introduction or a background of who you are, where you're from, where you were born?
Oh, my. Okay. Okay, my name is Leslie Nashehe. I was born in America. I was born in North Carolina, the mountains of North Carolina. I grew up on a farm in the States. Okay. Went to school there, went to university there, got my master's degree there, and married my high school sweetheart. That didn't work out. Then I was a bit devastated. Sorry, I'm like skipping forward
<That's>
here. And then I met the guy that brought me to South Africa, which was Metodi Nashehe. Which was an actor here in South Africa. So we dated for a while in the States. Oh my God, this is
you and Fatty Fatty.
I gotta tell the truth. We were actually at like a restaurant slash so bad pub type of place, okay, eh? Yeah. And I was out with my girlfriends, and I think he was by himself because I was still trying to recover from what I went through with my high school sweetheart, okay? So I was hanging with all, you know, when you hang with your girlfriends and your girlfriends are like, no, you're going to be okay. Let's go out. Let's have fun kind of thing. So I'm in that mode. And he walks in. And I'm not going to lie. I was like, who is this guy? Like, I was just like, wow. It's like that, you know, love at first sight kind of thing, you know?
Oh.
And we walked straight to each other. And he walked straight to me also. And my roommate came up to us. She knew him. Because it's a bit of a small kind of town, you know.
Yeah.
And she was like, do you guys know each other? And I'm like, no. And so she introduces us. And then we started dancing and talking, and that was that.
And the rest was history.
Yes, yes.
Wow,
yes.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
I had no idea. I mean, I didn't see a lot of pictures of the both of you online.
Okay.
But I was like, when I like saw them, like, oh my goodness, wow, they look so good together.
Oh, thank you.
I love it. So then you moved to South Africa.
Yeah, so we met, and then I think we dated for 2 to 3 years, eh?
Okay.
Around there. And believe it or not, when I met Matodi, he wasn't the famous actor.
Was that before?
Yeah. Now, he was a bit of a struggling foreigner. And sorry to say it like that. He went to school there, but he was struggling. You know, to be a foreigner is not always easy.
Yeah.
Even for me, it's not. Yeah. Things are a little bit more difficult.
Okay.
And so he was trying to, you know, work and get by, and he was struggling. So he finally came to me and said, "Would you be willing to move to South Africa? Because I feel like I could provide a better life for us there."
Oh.
And I had actually a really good job. I was a manager of a clinical program in the States called the Mentor Network. Mm. I have my master's in counseling psychology.
Wow.
So I had just been promoted to program manager, and I was opening, also regional manager, I was opening other offices throughout Western North Carolina for mental health, you know.
Okay.
And, but I don't know, I was at a place in my life where I think I was ready for change.
Yeah.
Because it was a small town, hey? Everybody knew all my business about what happened with my high school sweetheart, and
yes.
Everybody was looking at me like, oh, this poor lady. And I love my mom, but we had a bit of a rough relationship, and I was just ready for a new beginning, I think.
Mm.
So I told him, I said, I'll come and visit, and then most likely I'll move. And now here I am. It's been 21 years.
Yo.
21 years and 2 kids later.
Aww.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And how has it been just being in a different country? I mean, you came for love.
I did.
You know?
I did. I mean, even me, sometimes I'm like, am I crazy?
That's why I say crazy in love.
Yeah, when
love
they say,
makes you do crazy things.
It does. It does. It has been a roller coaster ride.
Yeah.
When I first came, you know, I experienced culture shock because, you know, I didn't even know what vendors were when I moved to South Africa, guys.
Really?
No, I didn't know.
The difference that there's, like, different people here. We are all different. There's the Venda Nation. There's the Zulus.
No, I was so blind, naive, probably doof. Like, I was in love. I was going to South Africa, but look, God did speak to me when I was in grade 8 and told me that I would be linked to South Africa, or to Africa, the continent. I thought I'd be doing mission work, okay? So I didn't necessarily think I would live in South Africa and have a South African husband and a South African children. But when I was, you know, my brother was driving me to the airport and he was talking to me and he was like, what if this doesn't work out? And I was like, no, but I think God has a reason for this, you know? It's bigger even, you know? This may be a God thing. But, yeah, it was culture shock, and it was big city shock. Guys, Joburg is not for the weak, eh?
No.
It's hectic.
No, Joburg is hectic. I mean, yeah. I didn't have, well, I'm going to sound so South African, I didn't have one robot in my little town, okay? Or traffic lights.
No robots.
When they said robot, I'm like, robots. What?
Oh, yeah.
I thought of the mechanical robots, like, you know. But so it was just culture shock, big city shock. But I was hanging in there, you know. Again, I was like, no, I love this man. And then, yeah, it was really good for about 10 years, and then all hell broke loose after that. Mm-hmm. So when I say a roller coaster ride, like, it was very extreme. Like, when it was good, it was good. And when it was bad, it was bad. And when it was bad, I really sort of had to fight for my life. Mm. Even, like, yeah, had to fight for my life. And if it wasn't for God, I don't think I would be here.
Sure.
Yeah.
And at which point did your husband, like, finally get his breakthrough? Because, I mean, to us, we've always known him as Mutodi, as, you know, a South African famous actor. Mm. You know, he's working on big productions. He's famous. He's doing well, you know. But you met him before that. So at which point did now his career just blossom? And how was your relationship when he finally got that breakthrough?
Okay. So it actually didn't take long.
Okay.
He came to South Africa, I believe it was March. Yeah, March 2004. Oh, so long ago. Mm. And then I came in September 2004. Okay. And then, I think it was like a year maybe. But he was already going for auditions for adverts. Oh. So I think he had already gotten some adverts and that kind of thing. And then his big breakthrough was Mavongo.
Mm.
He was Indalamo, the first Indalamo on Mavongo. And it was just, like, surreal because, like, here I am, a farm girl from the mountains of North Carolina that's now in Johannesburg. Mm. And I come here for love. Like, and some people will be like, oh, you dated him because he was famous. And I'm like, guys, he wasn't famous when I met him. I just fell in love with this guy, you know? It wasn't about money. It wasn't about any of that. I was in a better position there, you know? But anyhow, so, yeah, he got on Mavongo, and then next thing I know, we attended the first SAFTAs. I mean, I remember the first South African Film and TV Awards.
Yeah, sure.
I think I went to almost every single SAFTAs with him up until we started having problems. And then we had some fireworks at a SAFTAs. And I ended up having to leave and go home before I attended the SAFTAs. But I was just like, wow, I'm on the red carpet. My husband's an actor. I'm even in the magazines with him.
Yes.
And so it just felt like, almost like a dream, but almost like surreal. Like, is this, I don't know. It was good, but it was like, wow.
Just like a shock, but I guess a good shock.
Yes. Yeah.
Was he any different when he got his breakthrough in the industry, now that he was famous, or was he the man that you met?
You know what? For a long time, he seemed like he was still, like, very down to earth.
Yeah.
Look, it got a bit, you know, hectic when we would go out. I'll never forget. I'll never forget when we went to Northgate and people just started surrounding us and I couldn't get to the car. And, like, it was, and I'm just like, wow, what is this, you know? I remember the first time it happened. And he was always very nice with all the fans. And some, you know, I always tried to be nice, but sometimes I was tired. You know, sometimes you're like, please, can I go home? But he didn't change for a very long time.
Okay.
And I was really proud of him because, you know, he stayed down to earth. He seemed grounded because in the industry, I don't mean this in an ugly way, but I think it's very easy to lose yourself.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's like, you know how it is.
Yeah.
So it's very important to, in my opinion, to stay grounded, to stay with God, know what matters, know who matters, know why people are hanging out with you. Some people are hanging out with you because you're famous, because they think you have money, because they think that they can get connections.
Yeah.
So you need to have discernment, spiritual discernment from God. Because sometimes in the minute they get what they want, they'll leave.
They're gone.
Yeah. Or they'll backstab you or whatever.
Yeah.
So it's very important to really know who is truly there for you, famous or not famous.
Yes.
But, yeah, at a certain point, he just really changed. Yeah. And it was very sad to watch.
What caused that change? And was it because of, you know, the relationship? Did something change in him?
It was like I would look at him and the guy that I fell in love with was no longer completely there. Oh. Or sometimes it was like he was there, but then it was like in and out, in and out.
Yeah.
And Matoti used to even always brag about how his family was important to him.
Yes.
He never tried to hide me as his wife.
Yeah.
He was, you know, he would go onto shows and he'd be like, hey, I want to say hey to my wife. So he didn't try to act like he was single.
Yes.
You know, he loved his children. He was like known as a family man.
Yes.
And then all of a sudden he started going to events without me. He started staying out very late, coming in at like 3 a.m.
Sure.
His behavior changed. It was a lot. And it really, really devastated. Mm. Yeah.
And how's your relationship with your in-laws? You know, you have Venda Makoti, like me.
Guys are both Venda Makotis.
You all go to Venda, you know, and how was that? Just like the new culture for you and really just learning it and being that.
Did you locha?
I'm sorry?
Did you locha? Teach you how to locha like in Venda, you know,
lie down.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Okay, so I did go to Venda for the traditional African wedding. Okay. Hey.
Okay.
It was within the first 3 months that I was here.
Oh.
And I wore the attire. What's the name of
Wanda.
It? Yes, yes. Yeah. I have some pictures of it. I'll be honest, I didn't really know much of what was going on.
Yeah. Wow, okay.
And the truth of the matter is, Matoti didn't either. I mean, Matoti had been in America for 15 years.
Oh,
okay.
So he was actually very Americanized.
Okay.
Look, obviously for him it came a little bit easier because he had been exposed to the culture, okay, been to Venda and that kind of thing. But we just sort of followed the lead. His dad wanted us to have a traditional African wedding in Venda. I think he didn't want them to think that he was trying to hide me.
Yes.
Because, you know, it is a little bit different. I'm white.
Yeah.
You know, I'm from America. So he wanted, you know, us to have that wedding. It was hot. It was December 5th.
Wow. Yeah, December is very hot.
And I even left. I said, you know what? They really don't want me to marry you because I'm going to die of a heat stroke right here. So I got through it. I did everything except for
Locha, yes.
For me, and I thank God that Matoti understood, the aunt came and spoke to me and I said, listen, I love my husband, okay? And I don't mean any disrespect to any culture.
Yes.
But for me, when I get down on my knees, the only person or man that I'm going to do that for is God.
Wow.
And because God comes first and then, my husband. And I said, I hope you can respect that.
Yeah, sure.
And they did. They actually told everybody, though, that I had back problems. And they told them a story.
Okay, yeah.
Which I did have back problems. So they used that. Okay. But that's the only thing I didn't do.
Sure.
Yeah.
Interesting. Yeah.
Right. So I wanted to talk about the spiritual changes that happened and that took place. And I think that's important because you also spoke about moments where you looked at him and you didn't see him anymore, you know, where it's just like, what has gotten into you, you know, or who has gotten into you.
Yeah.
So when did that start and how did that then affect the relationship?
You know, I didn't want to see what I was seeing, but, you know, I had, you know, I didn't have a choice. And things started coming out, hey. I've always been Christian, but one thing that also happened is I was invited to the church that I go to now. Okay. It's called Spirit of Christ Ministries. And my pastor, he's an apostle. And when I entered that church, I've never been the same since. I thank God. I just went under a very strong anointing.
Yes.
Okay. And my eyes started opening. And I think my apostle already knew what was going on because I asked him to pray.
Yeah.
But he actually knew that he couldn't tell me everything because he literally said it was gonna kill you. He says, if I told you everything then, you were going to fall over.
Ooh.
But he slowly would, well, every Sunday, I would always be prayed for and I would always be prophesied. But every Sunday, I was known as the girl that was always prophesied.
Sure.
And it is a very African church.
Yeah.
My apostle's a Zulu man.
Oh.
It's me and maybe one other like Caucasian person.
Yeah.
But I think I needed that type of covering.
Yes.
Again, I don't mean to sound funny, but he understood the culture that I was in more, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know if a white pastor was going to be able to really understand.
Okay. Yes.
I didn't understand either, to be honest, for a long time. But anyhow, so things started coming out. I actually realized he was, I don't know if I should just say this bluntly, but he was dating a 19-year-old.
Sure.
And he was 40-something.
Sure.
And that was just the beginning. Like, when God started revealing things, it was just like, I don't know if there was anything that was not shown to me.
Hmm.
Eventually. Yeah, it all just, like, sort of rolled out. You know, it was sort of like you can only handle so much in one day, so on this day you're going to find out this.
Whew.
And then tomorrow you're going to find messages. Like one time I went to his desk and his computer was there. It was, as far as I knew, it was off. I went and I bent down, I touched his computer, and the screen came on and I saw messages between him and some other people that were inappropriate. And so I'm telling you, literally, I wouldn't even be looking for these things. And then this is when I really realized that he wasn't okay. Because, look, affairs happen. They're not right, in my opinion, but they do happen, unfortunately, right? But Matodi tried to get me arrested.
Hi, bo.
I'm sorry. He tried to get me arrested.
For what?
He tried to get me deported. He tried to have my kids taken from me. I was investigated by government departments. I was investigated by police. It became very vengeful.
Okay.
Very vengeful. And now keep in mind, I'm sure people are thinking, well, what did you do to deserve this?
Yeah.
Okay? I promise you, like, I was never unfaithful to my husband, ever. Even, I was never unfaithful to him. I didn't do anything. So I didn't understand the anger, okay? But the way that he tried to get me arrested, I have my undergrad and honors in psychology.
Yes.
I have my master's in counseling. And I worked as a psychologist in the States. Mm-hmm. But here in South Africa, you have to go through the HPCSA,
okay,
to get registered. And I tried to do that, but at that time I didn't have an ID number. And trying to get an ID number in this country, if you do things legally, as sad as this is to say, it's so difficult. And I'm not going to do them illegally, okay? Because imagine, I would have been in jail a long time ago, okay? But anyhow, so they needed my ID number because I had to go through foreign workplace management form. It was all this red tape.
Mm.
So then Matodi had to do an affidavit saying he'd be willing to give up his pay and job so that they could place me wherever to do my internship.
Oh.
And he says, I can't do that. You know, he can't give up his paying job.
Yeah.
And he says, you know, an affidavit is a legally binding document.
Yes.
So I can't do that affidavit. And he says, just wait until you get your ID number to try to get registered.
Okay.
Him and his dad then sat me down and said, but you can work as a consultant. Mm-hmm. You can't go through medical aids, but you do have this education. You should be able to, you know, make some money and still use your skills, but in that capacity.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So I did what they told me to do.
Yeah.
Guess what?
Yeah.
He then turned me into the police for doing what he told me to do.
Oh, my goodness.
So I was just like, what? And then on top of it, supposedly the reason that he was leaving me is because I wasn't making enough money. But when I would go and try to make money, he tried to get me arrested for what I was doing for making money. So how can I win?
So now the reason for the separation, because then you separated after that, was because you're not making any money. You're not bringing in any money into the family.
Look, I was, and the weird thing is I was making some money. I had a talent agency. I was working with children. I ended up with adults. I was also teaching drama play in the schools. So I was doing what I could to try to uplift people and to make some money. But look, the thing that I have to be honest with all of us and the ladies and all of us out there, when someone wants to leave you,
Come on.
You can stand on your head.
Yep.
You can do flips.
Yep.
You can do whatever. And if they want to leave you, they're going to find a problem with the way that you did the flip.
Yep.
Okay? So it doesn't matter. If they
wanted to leave, so
actually
that wasn't a reason. I think it was just an excuse to just have something, you know.
Yes.
But he wanted to leave the marriage, so he did.
Yeah, he did. I came home one day, and I had the kids. I was with one of my friends, girlfriends, and he was packing his stuff up along with his nephew and some of our friends, and there was a trailer there, and he was packing it up, and I was devastated. Look, I knew things were not good, and he did tell me he was going to leave. He even served me with divorce papers before that. These were legit divorce papers, okay? I was served at 6 in the morning. I'll never forget.
Sure. Wow. Where were you at home?
I was at home. And he was still in the house, eh? So he served me with divorce papers while he's still in the house.
Oh, how awkward.
So you like receiving these papers, and he's sitting there, and what was the conversation like?
He wasn't there when I received them. I think he was actually shooting something, but he was still like living in the house, And actually before he left for that trip to go shoot something, he told me, I'm going to give you another chance.
Oh.
He's going to give me another chance. And
For marriage, for love.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. It was so many mind games. I'm telling you, the mind games. Even when I think about it now, my head sort of spins. And I'm like, okay. But then after he left, I went to the printer. I was doing some work. I opened the printer. I found a piece of paper where he had made a payment. I think it was like $15,000 or something like that for the divorce papers to the lawyer. And I'm like, the proof of payment.
Hey,
and he had just told me that we're not getting divorced.
He's giving you another chance.
Guys, I'm so confused. Like, I don't know if I'm coming, going, you know, my husband loves me. My husband wants to divorce me. No, he doesn't want to divorce me. It was just like my head was spinning.
But what did you want at that time?
You know what? All along, I wanted to be with the man that I fell in love with. I really loved Matodi.
Yeah.
I loved the guy that I met, or at least who I thought he was. Yeah. Sometimes, you know, I still try to brainstorm about it. Was he ever who I really thought he was?
Mm.
You know? I would like to believe that he was.
Okay.
Yeah.
But I might be gaslighting my own self. I don't know. Because, I don't know, you know, they say with narcissists, they love bomb you. You think it's the best thing ever. And then, bam. But the thing is like, I'm like, can they love bomb you for 10 years?
Sure.
That's a long time to love bomb someone. Because he really made me feel like I was the only woman, I was the best. Like, it was like a beautiful, beautiful relationship and marriage. But yeah, when it went bad, like I say, it went bad.
Okay.
So he tried to get me arrested. He tried to get me deported. I was investigated by Department of Home Affairs. When he was the one that helped me to be legal here, then, yeah, I was turned in for that. And then I also found out that, like, him and some other people went to the people at Department of Home Affairs or the guy that I worked with, tried to make my paperwork go missing. I found that out also after Matodi passed. Like, everything just came out. And then he ended up dating a girl with Department of Social Services. She was a director. Matodi was good friends with the minister at that time. He spoke to the minister. You can even see on their Instagram, they would go back and forth. And a social worker rocked up at my house. I had been turned in for neglect because my child got folliculitis. And it was an immediate emergency, and they had to come out that day. And so I got investigated. And when she came, I said, oh, no, I'm used to this. Because every time I turned around, somebody was knocking on my door. The HPCSA person came. I had the police come. The police were there on and off. Detectives, they went and interviewed kids, the parents of kids where I taught them drama.
Yeah.
To try to find out if I had, I mean, guys, let's say I did do psychology. God forbid I help someone. They want to put me in jail because I'm helping someone. Like, the whole...
Make it make sense.
Like this makes no sense. So, I'm like, I'm being investigated because I want to help people in South Africa. How dare I come all the way from America with a master's degree and come and help the people of South Africa? Let's put her in jail for that. Like, I'm sorry, I'm even getting mad now. Because it's wrong.
Yeah.
And not just what Matodi did was wrong, but even the people that were around him. Like, why didn't they sit him down and say, what is going on with you? I mean, who does this?
Yeah. But also, if you had these problems in your marriage, I mean, you could have just left it.
Yes.
So now you are separating, but in the process as well, there's cops, there's...
drama.
There's drama. I mean, that is so dramatic.
It was.
Unless if maybe he has a perspective, which obviously, unfortunately, he will never be able to share his side of the story, that what is it that was bothering him so much with you being in the country? So maybe what he wanted was for you to go back home.
Yeah.
And he just moves on with his life like you were not there.
Look, it's a shame. I mean, look, in spite of everything that happened with me and Matodi, I never, ever wanted him to pass.
Yeah.
Okay? Don't get me wrong. I'm not trying to bash someone that's passed. I very much loved him.
Yeah.
I'm sharing this story for other people. I hope that they can learn from my story.
Yes.
And more than anything, I'm sure we'll get to this, it was God that saved my life.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sharing my story to show the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
Because literally everybody turned on me. I'm in a foreign country.
Mm-hmm.
My husband turns his back on me. Most of our friends turn their back on me. I had one friend that was beside me. And my daughters both, you know, loved me. But Sadie, my youngest, wouldn't leave my side because she was worried about me. And then Lexi, my oldest, was very attached to Matodi.
Okay.
So she was with him. I think, bless their souls, I think they were like, Sadie was like, okay, I'm going to take care of mom. And it's so sad because the parents should be taking care of the children, right?
Right.
But it was so bad that I think they had to, like, sort of split up to make sure. But Sadie also had a bit of a difficult relationship with Matodi, although she loved him very much. But I'm telling this story because God really, like, you know, I mentioned I went to a church.
Yes.
And so things started coming out. But I think what really happened with Matodi is I started seeing things that he was doing, okay?
Mm.
And he's a famous actor. He's in the papers, okay?
Mm.
What if I expose what he's doing?
Mm.
And I probably can't get into everything that was exposed to me, okay? Mm. Because it was very deep, very, very deep. I can get into some of it,
mm-hmm.
but I found out stuff, and it got dangerous for me. Let me put it to you like that.
Like spiritual stuff.
Yeah. Well, spiritual stuff and some stuff that was happening in the physical.
Yeah.
Okay. I found out he, yeah. And so when I realized he was a part of certain things,
yeah.
And he knew that I knew.
Mm. Like groups, associations?
Yeah.
Okay.
And even some activities. Well, okay. Group associations can also be activities.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So you're a part of a certain group, and okay. when you're a part of that group, certain they activities.
Certain things.
Yes.
Yeah.
So when I started seeing all of that, first of all, I'm in shock. Eh?
Mm.
Like, I didn't even know that stuff was real, okay? All right? I didn't even know that stuff was real. And then I realized that I'm, like, in the midst of it.
Yo.
And so when, like I say, when I saw it, it they didn't like me, eh? They just wanted to get rid of
people.
Him. Yeah, it wasn't just Matodi. It was all of those people.
They wanted to get rid of you.
No, they did, yeah.
Because you knew what they were doing.
Yes. Yeah. And there were layers of it. And you know, Matodi, okay, sorry, he was a nice-looking man.
Mm-hmm.
He was charming. That guy could, he could charm anybody and everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he just walked into a room, he had a presence about him,
mm-hmm.
and he could even be very humble. So, like, when I'm going to people and saying, look, Matodi's doing this and this and this and this.
They're like, no.
Yeah, they're like, no, not Matodi. Mm. He's so nice.
Mm.
He's always laughing. He's so humble, you know, but he did this for me. And he did, and I'm sitting here going, guys, please, you know, like, if anything, I'm even wanting to try to get help for him.
Yeah.
You know, I'm the only person that really understood what I was seeing and what was being revealed to me was my pastor.
Hmm.
And I had one good friend that was really beside me, but he also attacked her. He took her to court. Like, it was insane. Anybody that was beside me got attacked. And, I mean, I went through a depression. Like, when I was going through that, it was bad. I won't lie, I was scared. I was very scared. I have a government after me. I have ministers working with my husband. Or that's the way, you know, like, they're sending people to investigate me. The police are investigating me because I want to help people in their country with an education. You know, I've got a master's. It's not like I'm not educated. It was bad, but I was scared. And I couldn't leave. Because, look, I could leave, but I would have to leave my children. And that wasn't going to happen.
Oh.
Because I'm a foreigner, right?
Yeah.
So he had to sign for the kids to be able to go with me. And he wouldn't sign.
Oh, but he loved his kids, though.
No, he did.
That's
he did.
One thing about your husband. Because I know we followed each other on Instagram, although we never really worked on a set together. And I mean, all we saw, especially during COVID.
Yes,
during
COVID. I mean, all he was posting was his kids every day.
Yeah.
They were baking one day, one day they're cooking, one day they're singing, one day they're playing, one day. So that's the side that we know. That's what we saw. I'm like, oh, he's a great father. Then
eventually we saw that he stopped posting you. So I think we figured, okay, you guys are separated probably, you know. I don't know if you ever maybe went public with the separation.
You know, it was in the papers. We had, like, a lot of drama. It was actually ridiculous. Shane, one time he bashed, a car, and that ended up in the papers in my driveway. But it was in the papers a little bit. So it was public. But, you know, there's so much going on. So I think everybody's just like, another story.
Yeah.
More drama with Leslie and Matodi. Because it was hectic.
It was hectic. And also, I think the show he was on was very big as well at the time. I think it ended now. But huge. I mean, soapies were huge then. I mean, they're big now, but they were huge then.
Yes.
You know, so he was quite well known. So obviously it will come with everything being reported and everything being there. So I can't imagine, because I know going through something like that privately is hard, and then going through it publicly, it's probably harder. But then, you know, I think you also do celebrate the fact that he was a great father.
Yeah. Look, you know what? Again, what I want to say, I don't want to paint him as this awful person. If there's any message that I need to get out to everybody, And I want people to learn from what happened with me and Matodi. Mm. And I think even Matodi would want people to learn, okay? Yeah. There are just certain spiritual doors that you should never open.
Mm.
Don't even look at it. Mm. You know, the Bible talks about a foothold. Don't even, you know, if you just open the door
just
and...
That,
then, yeah.
No.
Don't. Don't. Area. Because you may open that door just a bit thinking, you know what, I'll be fine. Mm. I'll be fine. My family's going to be fine. But the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy.
Yeah.
And he loves to ruin marriages. Mm. And he loves to split up families.
Mm.
And it was even better. I mean, me and Matodi, here I am with him in a foreign country. People are looking up to us as a couple. We were on Adu magazine. We were doing interviews for Healthy Happy Marriages.
Mm.
We're looked at as this, you know, this family.
Power couple.
Love. Yeah. I mean, is that not the perfect marriage to just break up?
Mm-hmm.
You know? And what scared me is that the enemy also uses people around you as vessels to do the work of the enemy, to also help to split up this marriage.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I mean, this affected, look, I'm okay. God has restored me. But I had post-traumatic stress disorder after Matodi passed. They said from narc abuse. Because, I mean, if somebody knocked on my door, guys, I used to jump out of my skin. Because I used to have
just
people.
The knock.
Yes.
Trauma.
Sorry,
trauma.
I'm looking at my daughter. I used to scream. I mean, City of Johannesburg came to my house one time to check the water meter, and I was shaking like a leaf.
Mm.
And this was, I think, I don't know if Matodi was still here or gone, but even my friends know, please don't rock up to my house without me knowing it, because I was traumatized. It was a lot. I had people break in, try to break in while he was gone. There was just a lot of nonsense. And I literally at times felt like my life was in danger. But more than anything, I think the mind games was a lot. I didn't know if I was coming or going. I just think he was overtaken by forces that were actually beyond him at a certain point. I feel like Matodi passed before he physically passed.
Phew.
Because I would look at him, and it was like the person that I loved was gone. And I needed to protect myself from what was in him. And it was spiritual, and I don't know if I should get into all this, but I'm just going to say that God is going to protect me no matter what, because I'm going to talk about something that's very taboo, you know? One time, Matuidi went to Durban, KZN, and he wanted to, he took the oldest and his nephew. Sadie again stayed with me. When he came back, he was wearing a ring on his thumb.
Mm.
Okay. And it was a black ring, and it was a lion, and it had red eyes. Okay.
Yeah.
And I looked at it, and at this point, me and him were sort of talking again. We supposedly were reconciling before he passed, okay? So the lion, he's got the ring, and I'm like, what is that? Like, why are you wearing this? Mm. I said, it looks possessed, looks demonic to me. He says, well, and somebody tried to tell me maybe he was just joking. I don't know, but he was acting serious. He says, we went by the sea one night, me and some high-up officials and some police and high-up ranking people.
Mm-hmm.
And we all made a promise to each other. And this ring represents the promise. And so if I go anywhere and if I'm pulled over or whatever, you know what I'm talking about, they know not to mess with me. Again, I'm just like, I feel like I'm in a movie, guys. Like, again, yeah, I'm like, I'm like, this is not normal. And
why do you need this now?
Yeah, why do you?
Yeah, what exactly did you do there in case it happened that it's making you cut? Was he different? Did you notice something different? Yes, evidently he's wearing a ring, right, that represents, I guess, whatever covenant or commitment or agreement that he made. But did the change of behavior become more imminent now?
Look, it had already been very drastic. Sorry, I'm jumping around a bit. Another thing I just want to mention. In October 2020, he took Lexi, our oldest, to a restaurant at Clearwater, sat her down, and he said, basically told her he didn't have much time left. I have all the WhatsApps of everything documented, guys. Because as everything would happen, the one person that I spoke to was my apostle, because he was the only person that I could trust.
Okay. Wait. So he told your daughter that he knew he was going to pass away. How did he know?
I don't know. She was still pretty young, right?
Yeah.
He started crying. She started crying. She didn't ask him, like, why are you saying this or anything.
But he knew.
He knew. And so she came home to me. We're in the car. She starts crying. And she says, Mommy, Daddy told me that he's going to pass.
Mm.
Now, I'll be honest. In my spirit, I had already also been told, okay? But I thought maybe, again, I even thought maybe I'm crazy. You know, I'm like, no. You know, you don't want to believe this stuff. And so when she told me that, I messaged my apostle. And I said, look, and he said, listen, I'm going to pray about it, which is what he often says.
Mm-hmm.
I said, okay. So then after that, I went to a service, a church service. He has a Tuesday service also.
Okay.
And he did a prophetic preaching. I even made both of the kids go with me because I knew, I was like, I don't know, something's hectic. So he did a prophetic preaching basically saying that sometimes people are only living by the grace of God. But we need to do everything that we can to make sure that they end up with God. All right? So I'm like, okay. I'm taking it all in. Church ends. I tell Lexi, we get in the car, call your dad. Going to his house. Tell him we're coming. Guys, I walked into his house like a mad woman, and I said, you need to give your life to God. And I told him, I said, I know your life's in danger. I know your life's in danger. And I said, if you want power, can I tell you where you're going to get power? You're going to get power by being with Jesus. Okay? I know people think that us Christians are weak, right? But no. Be with God. So I told him, I said, please go and just repent, get on your knees, ask God to come into your life. I didn't do the prayer with him because I don't want to, like, it needs to be his choice, right? So in the midst of that, as I'm saying all this, he's looking at me like, you know, like, he's like, ugh. And then he says, maybe we should talk and maybe we must try to work things out. So that's when supposedly we started reconciling. That was November 3rd, 2020. We started going on date nights one night a week. But unfortunately, I also found out he was actually trying to divorce me fraudulently while I was trying, while I thought we were reconciling. But I didn't find out until after he passed because I found all the paperwork.
Sure. In his house. So then what happened on the week or maybe, you know, closer to his passing? How did he pass? Was he sick? Because obviously it was sudden to us as the public. So to you who were close to him, now we know that he did know he's going.
Yeah.
So what happened that he opened?
Yes, yes. So, okay, it gets even more interesting. Believe it or not, guys, I could make many movies.
You need 5 books, not 3.
So... okay, me and him, I think we're reconciling. I was actually at his house. Me and the kids were at the house, and I spent the night. Now, I have a dream. Okay, this is June 12th. I wake up. It's a very vivid dream. I am in front of a suitcase. I'm packing clothes. I'm upset. I'm like, how did I come all the way to South Africa? And my husband's doing this and this and this. And then... his mom and some African women in African attire, in my dream, comes to the window, and they're dancing, and they're singing, and they're escorting me to the airport. Okay. Now, this is what's happening in my dream. It was very vivid. And I wake up, and I'm like, something's not right. This is some type of message. Because, first of all, I can't leave South Africa, right? I'm not going to leave South Africa. Because... he's got to sign for my kids, right? All I knew was that something major is getting ready to happen. So I look at him and I say, Matodi, I tear up because I could feel. I said, I need to tell you about my dream. But he could see I was about to cry. So he says, if you're going to cry, don't tell me. And I'm like, okay. So then again, I message my apostle to tell him about the dream. I said, I need you to pray about this. So I go to church the next day. My apostle starts preaching about Ezekiel and the dry bones. And he's talking about, you know, and at that point in time, things were rough for me, guys. Like, I was also, like, financially, I was struggling. It was bad. And while I'm sitting there, I'm like, my apostle's going to call me up to prophesy. I just already knew in my spirit. And my apostle doesn't do that. He prophesies, okay? But he did, he called me up, and he says, part of this preaching was for you. He says, the valley's been dry, but it's now time to make a decision. And for the first time ever, I also took our original divorce papers to church.
Oh.
That was the first time I ever took them, okay? And between... me and the world come to find out. I feel like I'm just talking to you guys.
Yeah.
I had found out that while I thought we were reconciling, he was also seeing some other people. So I was just like, I'm exhausted, guys. I'm tired now. I didn't even want to talk to him about it. I'm like, you know what? You know when you get past the point, you know? You can't even be mad anymore.
Yeah, you're numb.
You're like, now I'm just stupid, you know? If I'm just going to... So I had sort of in my inside decided this is not going to work. I need to submit. I just need to let this happen. So that's when I took the divorce papers to the church. So when he called me up, I took them up to the altar. He told me to prophesy. I did prophesy. I basically said that I didn't say his name. I said that we would be, God will place me where I'm supposed to be and with who I'm supposed to be with. I was general because, you know, I'm trying to be, you know. But the thing at the end that I did is I thought the prophecy, everything was almost over, and I said, Apostle, one more thing. And I said, I want to prophesy the deliverance of the father of my children. So I prophesied his deliverance. And then Apostle prayed over me and over the divorce papers, okay? And then that was June 13th. And then a couple days later, Matoda got sick. My daughter was like, you know, he's not feeling well. And this was obviously during COVID. And even my other my daughter, Lexi, she was sick. So she went and stayed with him. And then one night she called me at 2 in the morning and Matoti, like, really wasn't okay. She's like, Mommy, Matoti's not okay. And I said, okay, I'm going to come. But it was, remember, there were the restrictions and you can't drive and all that. So Matoti was like, no, you might get arrested. I'm like, what, you wanted me arrested? No, but anyhow. But he was like, just come in the morning. So so I went in the morning and I stayed there. I think it was like 11 or 12 days trying to help him. I took him to the doctor immediately. The doctor thought it was just maybe flu, gave him medicine. I stayed there and tried to help him. He was scared to go to hospital because, you know, the hospital's full of COVID. You know what I'm saying? We didn't get him tested. So, but we thought it is COVID. And then finally, he went back to the doctor again. I took him back to the doctor, and the doctor's like, no, he's not okay. He needs to go to hospital. Then he's like, I don't want to go. And I'm just and he even asked my oldest daughter, should I go? And my daughter was like, Daddy, it's up to you. He says, I'm staying here. So then July 1st, he woke up, and Lexi came to me and said, Mommy, Daddy's struggling to breathe. And I knew then, because God spoke to me the night before, and he said, you're either going to wake up and he's going to be completely fine, or if you wake up and he's not fine, you must know.
He's going. It's time.
So when she came in and said, Daddy says he can't breathe, I was like, so I called the ambulance. I said, look, we've got to, I'm sorry, you have to go to hospital. So the ambulance came and they checked his oxygen levels and it was bad. It was, his oxygen levels was 51%. And I told him, he didn't understand that stuff. I said, listen, I didn't tell him how bad it was. I just said, listen, we're doing the right thing. You need to go to hospital. Yeah. So he goes. And we didn't have medical aid at that time because he was trying to act like he didn't have money. He actually really did have money, come to find out. He could have just said, Leslie, we have money. But, you know, he didn't want me to know. Because if I would have known, I would have put him in a private hospital immediately. But we took him to the hospital, and then he started messaging me. And it's so sad because he sent me an emoji of his face with a tear. And he said, please get me out of here. I'm dying.
He sent you the message?
Yeah. You know, that's the weird thing, hey? I think Matoti always knew that if there was anybody that was ever going to fight for him,
it's you.
It was going to be me. Even though, according to everybody else, I was the crazy person. I was the whatever, bitter, whatever, wife or ex-wife. I think he did tell people we were divorced. Even in some articles it says we were divorced, we weren't. Unless he did legally divorce me and I didn't know it. But according to Home Affairs,
you're still married.
We were still married.
Are you still married now?
Yeah. Well, I guess. I don't know. Legally. I mean,
because you never legally divorced.
No, we never legally divorced. Unless, I guess, in the Bible, I guess, with death.
Yeah, we know.
With death.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Matoti, as much as the thing that was in him. Let me put it like that. To me, you know, in Ephesians, it says our fight is not against flesh and blood, yes, but against the principalities. Yes. And to be honest with you, that's the only way I make sense of my story and what happened. I believe it was truly a spiritual story. We haven't even touched on the witchcraft that I dealt with. Okay, owls, yeah, snakes, birds, glass popping in my house, water pipes popping. Guys, why? I went through so much madness. It was only by the grace of God that I lived through what I lived through.
Did all these things happen after his spiritual encounters?
So he goes to hospital. Sorry, I know we're all over the place because it's a lot. So then you took him to a public hospital because you didn't know he had money.
Well, look, we called the ambulance and they came. Mm. And he went to Helen Joseph's. Okay. And, yeah, I didn't know he had money in his account. He always told me we're broke, we're poor, the houses are going to be taken. He used to always make me think we were on the verge of losing everything. Mm. So that was another thing that I was always worried, you know.
Yeah.
But then after he passed, obviously, you know, I was still legally his wife, so I saw that he had so much amounts, you know. It wasn't huge, but we could have dealt with, you know, going to a hospital and all of that.
Yeah. So he passed in hospital.
Yeah, so he sent me the message, you know, saying, get me out of here, I'm passing. So then I contacted his nephew that's older and some family members and forwarded the messages. And he rushed to the hospital. Okay. And then I started getting a hold of people. And then we were actually trying to find a way to get him to the Sadie Clinic, which is also a private hospital. His dad used to work there.
Okay.
So we were like, we'll find a way. So the nephew went there to check on him. He busted up in the hospital. Remember, you weren't supposed to go in because of COVID. But he didn't care. He busted up in there and said, we're organizing an ambulance. It's coming to take you to Lesady. And then his name was Little Matodi Okoto. He went out to call me because they needed Matodi's ID. And so when he walked back in, Matodi. So, you know, I don't know. You know, I spoke about the prophecy and stuff. Like I say, never in my life, in spite of everything that the thing that was in Matodi did. I don't even want to say Matodi did it.
Mm.
I don't even want to say Matodi did it.
Because you know there's a spirit.
It was a spirit.
That was in there.
The Matodi I knew, he did love me. The original Matodi I knew loved me. And he loved his children, but something happened and he was overtaken. And I think Matodi would even want, if he was here, he would also say to other people, please be careful.
Mm.
Nothing is worth your soul. Nothing. And these covenants and everything that people make, you may do it thinking, oh no, it's going to be fine. Mm-hmm.
Fame,
wealth, money.
Do you think he sold his soul?
I might be wrong, and I know a lot of people are probably going to be angry at me because I'm saying this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying it to be ugly. I'm saying it because I want people to know what's going on. I want them, if they choose to do something like that, they need to know the possible consequences.
Mm.
It's not child's play. The enemy doesn't play. The enemy comes again to kill, steal, and destroy.
He doesn't play fair.
He doesn't play fair. And he'll lure you. He'll make it look good. Mm. He'll make it seem so much better than even being with God. Okay?
Wait until it backfires.
But those covenants require certain things. Mm. And you know what they require, eh?
Yeah.
And just don't do it. It's very simple. The first time Apostle prophesied me, he said, stay with God. That's the only thing that's going to save your life. Because I think my life was in danger. He says, you better stay with God. Because I stayed with God, I'm still here. And I will tell my story and believe that God will continue to protect me, even though I know what I'm talking about is quite taboo, and I may still have people coming for me, but that's okay because God is with me. I just need people to know what's going on.
Was he still wearing his ring until his last moments or not?
Mm-hmm. He tried to give the ring to our oldest daughter at a certain point. And that's when I went, oh, heck no.
Oh, no way.
I mean, I was like, ah. So when that happened, again, I called my apostle. I'm like, I gave the ring to Lexi. I'm like, what do I do? So I got anointing oil, put it on the ring. I was praying. Guys, I was like
that's my baby.
Mad woman praying. And it's just sad. I do wish, look, I'm not Jesus by any means. I just wish that I could have saved him. When I prophesied his deliverance, it was to try to save him. Yeah. I didn't think that he would be taken. From what I understand, and maybe, you know, if certain covenants are so deep, sometimes the only way to be delivered is to be taken, from what I understand. I don't know. I don't even know if I completely understand everything. But guys, just stay with God. Keep life simple and stay with God. Sure. That's the only way to stay safe and okay.
Well, thank you for sharing that, you know. I know it can't be easy, you know, because this is your real life experiences. This is not somebody else's story. You like, in the mix, you are in it.
Yeah.
Let's just talk after he passed, you know, and how that made you feel, because he was still your husband. He is still the father of your kids, you know. And the funeral proceedings, what happened? Makoti, did you run everything? Were you in charge of everything? How was that? Did you face any drama?
You know what? I think even though Matete had told us he was going to pass, and I was still in so much shock. Eh? Mm-hmm. Like, I was in shock. I was there. I don't know if I really did much. I felt like, I think I was disassociating. I was just there. I was doing the best that I could. Okay. To be honest, Matodi's family, they were really great with the funeral, hey? Mm-hmm. They really came, from what I understand. I think they had a family meeting, mm-hmm. and everybody was like, be nice to her, okay, mm-hmm. you know? So I think they came together and said, okay, let's be nice to this woman. And they were. They were very supportive. They helped to arrange everything. I think if they hadn't been there, I don't know if I would have ever been able to pull it off. So I did what I could. Okay. Yeah.
Were you devastated?
No, I was. I sometimes think that if Matodi would have passed before, that probably would have also finished me. I really loved him, but I realized if there's any message I can give to the ladies out there, I know we want love, right? And please just always make sure that the person that you're with, that you guys are equally yoked, you know, and even look into maybe the family lineage and everything, you know. Make sure you're lined up, because if you're not, it's like oil and water at a certain point. You know, it may start off okay, but it can cause fireworks. But, you know, I say I came to South Africa for a man. I did come initially for Matodi, but it was Jesus that saved my life. So I think that was the man that really I came to South Africa for.
Amen. I love it. And, I love that, like, throughout the episode, you sharing your story, but then you also just sharing so many lessons to the viewers. Mm-hmm. You know, you're just so selfless in sharing the story, not just for yourself, but to make people more aware, for people to be careful. You keep saying, be careful, guys. And I love that. I think it's part of your ministry. Mm-hmm. You know, you did say that you do have a calling as well to prophesy. And I pray that God blesses you so you're able to help more people by sharing your story. I think before you go, just tell us about the books that you're writing. so that we can be waiting on standby to get those books as soon as you release them.
And believe it or not, I shared so much, but there's still some things
that I didn't. No.
So there's going to be more stuff in the books, hey?
Sure.
So the first book, I'm almost finished with it. It's going to go for editing soon.
Okay.
I'm planning on the title is going to be Foreign Love. Okay. Because no matter when I was in America, right? Mm-hmm. Machete was a foreigner and we were in love with each other.
Yeah.
I come to South Africa. I'm a foreigner. So Foreign Love. And then Shame, the second book, Foreign Betrayal.
Oof.
Wow.
You got it all figured out.
Because for me, again, the thing that was in him betrayed me. But I even feel like people, and I don't mean to sound awful, but the people that worked with him, I feel like they also betrayed me. You know, I talked about how I'm here to try to help people.
Yes.
And, you know, it was just mind-blowing. Like why?
You couldn't even recognize the people around you. Like, what, you guys as well? You're turning around me? But I think that's what separation does. And that's, you see, that you did mention it. The enemy is against marriages, healthy marriages, because not only does your partner turn away from you, everybody around you.
Yes.
It's like it's a war.
It's a war. It's a war of note. But one thing I want to also highlight, I think God, it's so painful, right, when you're alone and isolated. But I think I wouldn't be this close to God if he hadn't isolated me. And, you know, I think with this war, only God can get the glory, eh? Because nobody else really, you know, everybody else sort of left me and said, we're going with the famous guy, you know? You're not an actress, you know? You're the white lady from America. So he was the popular one.
Yes.
So they went with him. And God was with me.
Ooh.
And that so is God is more powerful than a government. He's more powerful than the police. He's more powerful than covenants and cults and all those things.
Yeah.
It may be a war, but he's more powerful.
He's far more powerful.
Mm.
You know, he's God.
Sure.
I think my last question, and then we wrap it up. I have too many questions here for this. Why do you think your husband went into the, I wouldn't even call it a cult, but or selling his soul, or that spiritual door that he opened, why? Because was it for money? Well. Was it for fame? Because for me, it's like, you're already famous, you're already known, you know, you don't have to be the richest person on earth. Was his career slowing down? Why do you think he did it when you think about it now?
Yeah. Look, guys, I've spent so many years, like, trying to also understand everything and piece everything together. I don't know for sure, all right? But this is what I suspect. I suspect it happened before he even came back to South Africa, all right? Mm-hmm. Now, the reason I tell you that is, I don't know if you guys are probably aware of, like, the symbols and everything that they do.
Yeah, I think there's some symbols
So it was only one time we were being interviewed by a newspaper. They were in our house, and he got on the back of the couch. He was sitting on it, and he did this symbol. And he, like, and I'm like, what is he doing? Like, why is he doing that?
Yeah.
Again, like, I knew nothing at that point in time. Okay.
Yeah. But you remembered.
But I remembered.
That day.
And then I started going through his pictures, of even his pictures of when he was in America. Because I'd also been told in the spirit that it happened. Because this thing started in the
So before years. He got the big break, you say.
That's what I think.
So he actually did it perhaps.
Yeah.
Okay, we're assuming.
Yeah, we say allegedly.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
For the fame, and then the fame and being known and the spotlight, he got exactly that. However, but because these things want to progress, I guess, and you constantly have to go back and do whatever, then he did, and the price was bigger. Yeah. And this time he paid with his own life.
You know, from what allegedly. From what I understand, you know, the sacrifice is, sorry to say the word, it just gets bigger and bigger and bigger. So, you know, it requires more. So, guys, please, even other covenants, just please be careful with what you do. Mm-hmm. Even, yeah, other things, I won't get into it because I don't want to make everybody mad. But just be wise. But, yeah, if you can't do the sacrifice, you become the sacrifice, from what I understand.
Yeah.
Again, I could be wrong. This is just me trying to put all the pieces together. And looking at everything that transpired, it was very sad. It was devastating to watch. But all I could do was pray and just stay with God. That's all I could do.
How's your daughter doing, your firstborn?
She's okay. It was hard at first. Mm-hmm. And she's still
so close.
Yeah, yeah. And she has her moments. She actually recently won some acting awards. I'm like, oh, my word. Are we going into this industry again?
Not me again, Lord.
I'm like, oh, guys, you need to know that if she's in the industry, if Sadie's in the industry, this crazy woman's going to be praying. Yes. So, you know, be ready. But she's actually a really good actress. Eh? She won top 10 in all of South Africa for best acting for film.
Wow.
She's a prefect. She's going into matric. She's a culture prefect.
Congratulations.
She's then following in her dad's footsteps then. Head of culture as well.
She is. I think the industry's like, oh my word. We're she's still
a proper creative.
No, she is. Yeah. And we're doing some production starting in December. And so, yeah, we have plans. And, yeah, still in the industry. You know what? People of God can also make it in the industry.
Yes, Lord.
Mm-hmm. People of God can also succeed, be famous, mm-hmm. make money, and glorify God.
Amen.
So if you, you know, if you want that, you can be with God, and it can happen.
Well done on being a good mom.
Thank you. Present. Thank you.
Like
I love my kids. I always say it's God and my girls that has gotten me through.
And you've got beautiful girls.
Gorgeous.
Yo.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you so much for sharing.
It's a pleasure.
And for being vulnerable. We'll be looking forward to those books.
Yeah. Okay.
And really congratulate. Huge, huge, huge congratulations. A milestone. Great. I know it's not easy because you have to revisit moments. Mm.
Yeah.
But,
like I say, if it can make a difference in someone's life, if it can save a soul, if this, you know, I tell myself I didn't go through this for nothing.
Hey? Yes.
So I have to be on stages and do things like this and share this story so that it can save the souls of other people. And I really believe Matodi would want the same.
Drops mic.
Drops it. Mic. Love it. Wow. Wow. That's like, it sounds like a movie, a film.
Yeah, I've been writing your scriptures about your life as well.
Yeah, I'm thinking these books can end up being
absolutely
movie scripts,
an adaptation. Eh?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure you guys at home are also like, wow, wow, wow. That when I saw her online, I was also like, wow. I had to keep repeating the video and like, wait, what? Wow. You know. So, but it is her real life, and I'm so glad that you know she's here to share. I hope that you heard all those lessons. And that you had God above it all. Choose God.
Choose God always.
Amen.
Choose God. Amen and amen. We look forward to your comments down below. We look forward to your emails. Let us know your thoughts and your personal experiences. Have you gone through something similar? Are you currently going through it? And this was just an eye-opener for you. You want to hear all about it. And we hope that God can really open up your spiritual eyes as well. That you can begin to see things that you weren't really aware of. Thank you once again to you, Leslie, for sharing your story. And to everyone else at home, it's time for us to go, Millicent.
Let's go. For myself, Millicent.
And myself, Innocent. And Leslie.
It's bye for now.
Bye for now.